today, I'm excited today because I'm going to share about our vision for 2014. And we've done this every year for probably like the last 5 years or so. And this is going to be a little different. This is going to be like a more like a preaching vision. It's not just going to be, I'm just going to tell you what we're planning on for the next year. But casting vision is important because it gives everybody in this place. Some of you are maybe weren't here last January, and you don't know where we're headed as a church, what our goals are. So this is going to give you a chance to hear that. But it's necessary and important to cast vision. And this is why I'll use time like the sermon time to cast vision instead of just calling a special meeting that half of you would be like, I kind of know what we're doing. I'm not going to go. So I just wait until you guys all come and then I surprise you instead. But Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If there's no vision, you all die. That's not true. What that means, that word perish right there means to ignore, let alone avoid, neglect, cause to refrain. So without vision or direction, the people ignore, avoid, neglect, or refrain from accomplishing the mission of the church. That's what that means by perish. It doesn't mean that you actually die. But if you don't know what the vision is of the church, what the mission is of the church, and what we're trying to accomplish, you don't participate in it. It makes sense, right? So vision is very important. It's kind of like I'm giving you guys all a compass today and then at least a general direction, a destination that's common. This is where we're going. Here's your compass. Get there, okay? It doesn't mean that I have all the answers today. God has the answers, not Tim, okay? But this vision is going to explain where we want to go and how we plan to get there. And God will make it happen. We got to do everything that we're capable of doing. So now our vision is modeled after Scripture. So, and if you look through Scripture, you'll see where constantly throughout Scripture, people see the needs around them and what their present state is, but then they desire something greater, a greater future. So they seek God and His wisdom. And that's what we're going to do. I believe that here at Freedom Reigns, as good as things are right now, I believe things are good here. I believe God's doing great things. I believe we have a much greater future, much greater. I believe that it's beyond anything that what any of us have in our minds, okay? But God has a specific plan for this body of believers, and each one of you have an opportunity to play your specific part. That should be exciting. God has a part that's just for you. So first thing I want to say, though, is that prayer is a requirement for vision. Okay, you realize I didn't just make all this up. The elders last year, we prayed about it. We put together this vision. And like I said, we'll see each piece of it is it comes from Scripture. It's not just like, well, this would be good if we put it in there, you know. It took time. It wasn't something we developed in one day. It requires prayer, and it requires your prayer to continue this vision, for you to carry it out. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's God. We need God's plan. We can come up with our own ideas all day long. And guess what? If it's not God's plan, what does it matter? We need the plan of the Lord. And so today, I encourage you guys all, commit this stuff to prayer. See how it's going to apply to your life, how you can participate in this. And if you're from another church, I know we've got some visitors. Think about this as far as your church goes. It may not be your church's vision, so to speak, but just look at the things. I mean, it's going to be Scripture that's coming out. So look at these things and think, how do I apply these to me, to my life personally, to my church? But vision gets us to focus collectively on God's plan instead of our own. Is that what your common struggle is, focusing on God's plan instead of your own? I know that it's mine. I think it's probably everybody's. And how many of you have been in a church before where you see great division because of multiple visions? Probably almost everybody. You know why that is? part of it's the devil, but part of it is that the church, the leaders of the church have not established a vision that this is where we're going. Because guess what? If your vision doesn't line up, maybe it's not the place for you, or maybe it's your vision. Maybe it's not God's plan. Maybe you're still seeking your own passions, your own desires instead of God's. See how yours align with God's. And I've seen lots of people where they stir up trouble because, well, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And I praise God for this body right here because I really have yet to see that problem. Even sitting in the pews for the last 6 years, I mean, we have a great, great leadership here. I believe that our leadership is in unity. I believe that our leadership is all striving for the same purposes and goals. And I've never, in 6 years that I've been on the board, I've never seen an argument. I don't even really remember anybody raising their voice, getting upset. There's been one no on a vote, and that was Crystal when she wasn't paying attention one time. Remember that, Crystal? Everybody looked at her like, did you just say no? Yeah. But so it's vision. It's the fact that we have a common goal in this place. You need to know the vision. Vision gives us a common target that we can all aim for, because otherwise we're aiming at nothing. And guess what you hit when you aim at nothing? Nothing. Every single time you'll hit it if you're aiming for nothing. So vision is so important that we know what we're aiming for. So first I'm going to kind of cover who we are, what our identity is. And you see that in our name, Freedom Reigns in Christ Church. We're a non-denominational church, which many people say means that you are a denomination. You're non-denominational. But our core beliefs can be found in our very name, Freedom Reigns in Christ Church. The first part, Freedom Reigns. How many of you know that there is freedom, great, great freedom that's available to the sons and daughters of God? Right? It's available. And this is something that we can really grab a hold of for real. We can really have that. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. I believe that the Spirit of God's here, and he brings freedom. John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We're free, okay? I've had people ask me before, why Freedom Reigns in Christ Church? That's kind of a weird name. Why aren't you just First Church of whatever? Why are there so many first churches? They can't all be the first, right? They don't even all believe the same thing. All of the first churches of God, they don't all believe the same thing even, okay? All of the first Christian church, they don't all believe the same thing. We are Freedom Reigns in Christ because what's on the sign out there, we want people to know that that's what you're getting when you come here. That's what you can expect in this place. It's what our expectation is as leaders, is that you will receive freedom in Christ. That's what you get. There's not too many people that pull in here expecting a dry, boring, traditional service. And if that's what you like, I don't mean to knock it. I'm just saying by the name that we have out there, that's not what people expect. And I'm glad that's not what they expect, because God has so, so, so much more for us than just coming in here and sitting and going through traditions and leaving and going home. He has so much more for us. But what are we free to do? We're free to run. We're free to dance. We're free to live for Jesus, according to the song, I Am Free, right? Does everybody know that? But really, that's it. We are free. Yeah, we're free to wave flags. How many of you guys appreciate the flag waving? It's actually pretty awesome, all right? And so thank you, Jan, for bringing that ministry. Yeah, and Natasha for participating in it. It's awesome. But many believers have this misconception, this misunderstanding that being a Christian is boring, or that it's terrible because you have to abide by all these rules and you can't have fun anymore. How many of you have believed that or know somebody that believes that? I believed it at one point. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell, That's what it is. Because I can tell you from my experience that right now, right this very minute, is the best that my life has ever been, ever. And I've done a lot of stupid things that this world would call being free, okay? I've done a lot of it. Probably in this room collectively, we've probably almost done all of it. Hopefully not, but the majority of it. I, right now, am the freest I've ever been. I feel the best I've ever been. No kidding. Because my life is so much better now than when I did what I wanted. Okay, that's what everybody wants. They want to do what they want. And I praise God that every day I can walk around and I can be free from my past, not condemned by my past mistakes, because I'm a new creation and behold, the old things have passed away. That is awesome. I no longer have to be ashamed of what I do and hope that I don't get caught by my parents or by my wife or whatever stage in your life that you're in. But people walk around in that and they think that that's freedom. How is that freedom when you have to look over your shoulder all the time worrying if someone's going to catch you doing something that you shouldn't be doing? I just don't get it. And I've been there. But I love that I don't have to work so hard to be the center of attention anymore. I get the microphone. I can come up here and say whatever I want. No, but in my life, I don't work on being the center of attention. And I used to do that. When I'd go to a party, I would focus on being the funny guy, which, by the way, usually translates to stupid guy, okay? The funny guy at a party is usually the stupidest person there, okay? Because they're doing stuff that they really shouldn't be doing. But I don't have to work hard at that anymore. And it is hard work to be that center of attention. Now I get to try to make sure that Jesus is the center of attention everywhere we go, whether we're in church or we're at home or we're having a get-together or wherever we go, you can make sure Jesus is the center of attention. And guess what? You can put your attention and your focus on him and on other people instead of on yourself. You know why people are self-conscious? Because they're thinking about themselves and what their image is. Think about the image that you have in Christ, the freedom that you can have to be who he created you to be. That's freedom. You can be who you are and not worry about if people think that you are cool. You glorify Christ. And I don't think that there's anything that is more freeing than being able to serve God. I just don't. And you don't do it because you have to. You don't do it because you're obligated to. You do it because he deserves it, because you want to please him with your life. But I'm not bound by rules and religion. I'm not. Many people are. Maybe many people that go to church are bound by rules and religion. I'm not bound by anything, but I'm captivated by the love of a God who came to this earth and died for me, that he loved me that much. How is that not the most amazing, freeing thing in the world, is serving someone like that? And I've heard the story many times before about a burning building and a brother goes in to save his little brother and comes out and he's badly burned beyond recognition. And that little boy gave his life to his brother. He did everything for him forever. Like, I could never repay you. Thank you so much for what you did for me. And we'll do that for a person, for a man or a woman sitting next to us. Why wouldn't we be captivated by that love that Christ had for us to that degree that we would do everything and give everything to him? That's free. That's freedom. That little boy in that story doesn't do that for his brother because he has to. He does it because he loves him, because he wants to serve him. He wants to help him with things. So Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about how everyone is a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. If you're a slave to sin, the end is death. If you've been set free from sin, you become a slave of the Lord, and your fruit will be holiness, and your end will be everlasting life. That's good. The wages of sin and death are, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's freedom, eternal life. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Everything that Christ does for us is so that we can be free. Free to serve him, free to live for him. And Matthew 1:21 says, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's so important, and that's something that's been proclaimed in this house for years, is that Christ will save you from your sin. It doesn't only mean that you don't have to continue to walk in that sin. It also means that you don't have to walk around condemned about past sins, that they no longer have dominion or a hold over your life anymore. That's freedom. The second part of the church's name, freedom reigns in Christ. In Christ, this proclaims our position in which we have the right to the above freedom that I talked about, all right? This is why we have the freedom. Freedom reigns in Christ because Jesus is the one that sets us free. Without him, there's no freedom. It's only in Christ. And oftentimes, that's the part of our church name that gets knocked off. Everybody in here is probably guilty of that, of just calling us Freedom Reigns, but don't ever, ever forget that it ain't possible without the in Christ. If you want to call this church Freedom Reigns because you're lazy, I do it because I'm lazy, or because I don't like to type as much, or whatever. I didn't mean the lazy thing, I'm sorry, but I do it. But don't forget the in Christ. It's the most important part. You start calling us the in Christ church, if you want to shorten it. But that was just a joke. Thanks for laughing, Brooke. You don't have the freedom without Christ. If you put your faith and your trust in Christ, that is your rightful position. Freedom. You have it in Christ. Romans chapter 8 says that we are children of God, and if we're children, then we're heirs, and if we're heirs, then we're joint heirs with Christ. Jesus is sitting on the throne. He's victorious. It's what we've already sung about. I already prayed about it. He is victorious, and that is our position if we're in him. If you're victorious, are you bound or are you free? You're free. Amen. In Christ, you're also declared righteous, justified, according to Romans 3:24. And in Christ, you are also made righteous, which is sanctified, in 1 Corinthians 3:14. This is why we can proclaim that freedom reigns in Christ. Amen? So we cover all that much to a much greater level in the membership class. So if you guys are not members, if you're even interested in becoming one, get with me sometime and we can schedule a class, or catch one of the elders and ask them about it. But I want to look at God's mission for this house. And this is something I want each one of you to commit this to prayer. Seek and ask God how you can help in fulfilling this mission. What has God called us to do? And this is our mission statement. Is it up there? Do you have it? Yes. Awesome. All right. Our mission statement at Freedom Reigns is making disciples for God's glory and for his kingdom. Making disciples. This is our mission because it's what Jesus commanded us to do. We do it for his glory because that's why we want more disciples. And we do it for his kingdom because you don't want more disciples of you. You want more disciples of Christ. It's not just about making a bunch of... I already have one mini-me right there. Why don't you have shoes on? Put your shoes on. I already have one mini-me right here that God made. I didn't make him, but God made him, and I don't need a bunch more. I'd have one. That's plenty, okay? But you're to make disciples for God's glory and for God's kingdom. You're supposed to make more reproduction of him. And Paul talks about in Philippians how it's okay to follow me. It's okay to look at what I do, because I'm walking after Christ. And you can proclaim that. You can have people walk after you as you walk after Christ, as long as they know that I'm not the model. I'm not the standard. It's Christ. Okay? Hang out with me. See how I act. But if I act outside of Christ, don't pay any attention to that. But that's why it's so important how we act in public and in private. I ask people occasionally, Christy and I do, that are people that are not quite as close to us when they first start coming around. We'll kind of ask them after spending some time with us, do we act in private like you thought we would? Like, do we act the same outside of our house as we do in our house? Because it's important to me. I want people to see me for who I am. I don't want to be one person in church, one person in the home, and one person in public. I want to be the same person all the time. And if I ever vary from that, you'd be like, wow, I didn't know you acted like that. You call me out. You make sure you tell me, because my desire is to follow Christ so people can follow me and that I can lead them to him, because it's for his kingdom, for his glory. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Verse 20 is so important, and that's something that we always, not always, but very, very frequently leave off of that passage. We all have the go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But then, teach them to observe the things that I commanded you. To go and make disciples doesn't just mean, like I said, you don't just make someone just like you. You make someone just like Christ. You lead them to him always. And how can we as this church fulfill this mission? How can we plan to fulfill it? If you grabbed a bulletin, you'll notice on the back, I had Christy take off the notes, and I put on our mission statement and our vision statement, because I want you guys to know what it is. Not we shared about it last January, and then that's the last time you've seen it. Maybe you got a paper that said it last year, and you've lost it, and you have no idea. People need to know what our mission and what our vision is here. So I'm going to kind of go through this section by section. But the first part of it, of our vision, is by God's grace and for his glory, we believe that God has called Freedom Reigns in Christ Church to be a dwelling place for the Spirit of God and a hospital for the hurting and broken. Too many churches today ignore or reject the Holy Spirit, and we will not be one of those, ever. We will never be one of those. We welcome the Holy Spirit to move in this house, in our hearts and lives, through us. This is the only way that we can do the second part of that, which is ministering to those that are hurting. That's it. It's the only way that we can do it, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can speak good, kind words to people, but only the Holy Spirit can bring the comfort that they need in a time of need. Your hug does very temporal, you know, easing of pain. The Holy Spirit can do permanent life transformation, can remove anything from us, can heal and touch us in any way. We have to make this place a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. We have to, and if we're not, we might as well just close the doors and turn off the lights. That's why it's the first thing in here. We have to seek the Holy Spirit. So, it's only by the grace of God that we can do these things. And we do them to bring glory to the name of Jesus. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Some ways that we as a church can fulfill this part of our vision is we have our prayer and altar team, which typically is our elders, and occasionally we'll have other people join us. But we pray in faith for the Holy Spirit to work in your lives. And it's not just an empty sure, we'll come up and pray just so people see it. We really believe that the Holy Spirit is going to work in your life. And the reason we don't go a single service without doing some kind of altar call is because I think it's ridiculous to come in and preach about holiness and righteousness and the grace of God and the love of God, and the only way that we display it is by giving people hugs at the end of a service. We need people to have the opportunity. If no one comes down, that's fine. You don't offend me at all. But I want every person to have the opportunity to receive what God has for them today. Every single person. Another way that we fulfill this part of our vision is having elders in this house that are available. Contact information's on the back of the bulletin. It's not just me. I am an elder as well. But the elders are available if you need guidance in your life, if you need prayer, if you just need someone to talk to. We're available for you. We have Jason and Sherry who do the premarital and marriage counseling, and Christy and I are certainly open to doing that as well. But we want to meet with you. If you have problems in your marriage or you're going to get married, I don't think there's anybody that's going to get married soon, but if you're going to get married, you need to make sure that you're going to have a marriage that's focused on the Lord. That's the most overlooked and the most important part of a marriage is God. People go up and they stand and they give the vows before God, and then they never look to God again until they have some kind of need, until their marriage is falling apart or somebody's sick or hurting. God is the most important part of the marriage. You realize God's the one that established marriage, not the United States of America. God established marriage. So those are some areas that we offer to help fulfill that part of our vision. The next section is Freedom Reigns in Christ Church is committed to God-honoring worship and to preaching and teaching the unadulterated, authoritative Word of God. If you've been here very long at all, you guys know that we're a house that loves to praise and worship the Lord. I love to worship Jesus, whether it's here with all of you, whether it's by myself, whether it's just me and my wife sometimes in here. We love it. And it's, to me, it's the most important part of the service. I come here to exalt the name of Jesus, to lift him high. And when he blesses us by touching us and by working in our lives, that's awesome. And we're thankful for it. But we come here to proclaim the greatness of our God. Praise and worship is so, so important. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." That's why we praise the Lord. It goes back to testimonies. Everybody has a testimony. He has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If that ain't worth praising, I don't know what is. We don't have any problems praising people of this world, and then it comes to Jesus, and it's different. We got to get past that mindset. It goes back to seeking the Holy Spirit, letting him work in your life. Psalm 150 verse 1 through 6, here's some more reasons to praise the Lord in case his marvelous light isn't enough. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's why we do this. That's why we have all these instruments. It's not just because we like to jam out in here. Okay? That's not why we do this as opposed to singing hymns and just having an organ. That's fine if that's the kind of church that you desire, but this says to praise him. To me, it sounds like with awesome loudness and dancing and yelling. So we invite that here. We're open to that. We worship Jesus because he is holy, because he's worthy, because it's about him and who he is. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says this, "Therefore, by him, Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." It's all about giving thanks to him and praising him for who he is. And like I said, if you don't like it, you're not going to like eternity. If you don't, I'm not going to say that. Never mind. I'm going back to my notes. All right. Charles Spurgeon, this is what he said. "Depend upon it, my hearer, you never will go to heaven unless you are prepared to worship Jesus Christ as God." I was going to say that, but not quite as smooth. And then I realized that that's what I had next. So, but how are you going to go to heaven where we're going to worship God all of our lives if you dislike worship? If you can't wait for worship to be over? Sometimes we may go a little long, but I've told Jason he has the freedom to take worship as long as God leads him to go. I mean, if we got to throw things out at the end, we'll throw things out at the end. If we got to dismiss at noon and let people go, and who wants to stay can stay, we'll do that too. But he has the freedom as the worship leader to take worship wherever God leads him to take it, because it's so, so important. The next part there, we teach and preach at Freedom Reigns in Christ truth. How many of you want to hear truth when you come here? The world's full of lies. The enemy whispers lies in your ear every day. TV's full of lies. The newspaper's full of lies. Everything in the world is full of lies. When you come here, you need to hear truth. And when people hear you outside of here, they need to hear truth. So remember that. They need to hear the truth coming from you. But when you come here, you will not get a sugar-coated message. You're going to get the Bible. That's what you're going to get every single time. And sometimes it's going to sting, but it will always lead you to Jesus. It's not going to sting. I'm not going to come in here and beat people up over my own agenda. This is what I would like for you to do. Or I know one person's walking in some kind of sin, so I'm going to preach directly to them and just like stare at them the whole time. That's not what you're going to get. I'm going to preach what God lays on my heart. And if it stings, you better work it out with him, but it will lead you to him. It will never cause you to walk out of this place condemned, feeling worse about yourself. Now, you may be convicted. The Holy Spirit might say to you, yeah, you really should be doing that. But I will never, from this pulpit, condemn you and tear you down. I will always build you up with the word of God, always leading you to Christ. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." It's the power of God. Why would we be ashamed of that? So areas in our church where we support that part of our vision is what we're doing right now. Sunday mornings, the worship in this place, the preaching, Sunday school that Bud and Jan teach, and we got Mark and Sherry that teach the younger kids, and Ben and Erica, and if there's any of you that I'm forgetting, I'm sorry about that, but I think those are the regular people. We teach the truth of God in this place. It's what you can expect. When people ask you what this church is about, it's about Jesus. It's about freedom in Christ, but it's also about the truth of the word of God. That's so, so important. We're a spirit-filled church, yes, absolutely, but we're a church that stands on truth. We'll never put anything above the word of God in this place, ever. The next part is Freedom Reigns in Christ Church is committed to advancing the kingdom of God through the salvation of the sinner and seeking Holy Ghost revival. Now remember, all of these pieces of our vision are how we are going to accomplish our mission, which is, anybody remember? Making disciples for his glory, for his kingdom. That's what the vision is for. It's how do we envision getting to that mission. But we want to advance his kingdom through salvation of the sinner and seeking Holy Ghost revival. Advancing the kingdom is why there's a desire for this church to grow. It's not just so we can have more people come down and give. It's not just so that we can win a popularity and contest in the town that, oh, now we have this many people. We want people to come because we want to see the lost saved. We want to see the kingdom of God advanced. We've set our sights on the kingdom, not on the temporal things of this world. Many times we can look around and be discouraged. Even today we're kind of light, but some of you may not know things that I know, like there are several families that are out for different things. I don't ever get discouraged because if there is one person here, I would preach to them. If there was one person here, as long as it was Jason, we would sing beautiful songs to the Lord. Otherwise, I'd just sing whatever comes out and he would like it anyway. But it's not about numbers, but it is about numbers. It's about seeing the kingdom advanced. We in this town so need a moving of the Holy Spirit. And when I say this town, just know that I'm always referring to Altamont, Brownstown, the other towns that some of you are from, because it's really more like a region, but we so need the Holy Spirit. We need, just as we are singing and declaring your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, that we're starting to see it, okay? Slowly, bit by bit, we're seeing it, but we want God so badly to come and establish his rule and take the throne for his kingdom to come. Amen? I hope that you do. I do. I know that our leadership does. And if you come to our prayer meetings, you will hear us praying that. You will hear us praying for the Holy Spirit to come, not just in this church. And I told Pastor Bob down the road at the Assembly of God at the last prayer meeting down there, I was like, if the Holy Spirit breaks out over here, if like you're having revival, I was like, we're closing our doors and we're coming over. I mean, we're not going to sit over here praying for revival when revival's right down the road. Wherever it's at, that's where we're going. Because it's not about us. It's not about our church. And I hope and pray that he does pour out his spirit in this church. I think it'd be awesome. If he doesn't, we'll go somewhere else. Because do you realize there's a major, major difference between the church in the book of Acts and the modern church that we're in today? Just read it sometime. Just read. I mean, you don't even have to read the whole thing. Read like chapter 2 through 4. And you'll see the church that we attend today is nothing like the book of Acts. Nothing. And that's sad. And if it was something that I could just change, I would. But it takes way more than me doing something different. It requires us crying out to the Lord for him to send revival upon the earth. In Acts chapter 2, it's very well known for the first couple of verses. The day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's amazing. It's powerful. But what about the rest? Everybody knows that part. What happened after that? After that, in the next couple of chapters, they shared the gospel with boldness. They didn't go out and they weren't timid. If you're in this house and you're filled with the Spirit, you should be declaring the word of God in boldness. If you're not, pray about it. Ask him to fill you afresh and to give you boldness. They devoted themselves by studying the word of God. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to prayer. If you're a spirit-filled believer, you should be doing those things. That's what they did in the book of Acts. And I believe this isn't against any single person in here. I believe that if we all did this, that we would experience revival on the earth. I believe that if we all actually shared the gospel with boldness, that if we studied the word, not I have a reading plan and I have to read 3 chapters today, and I have about 15 minutes to do that. I'm pretty sure I can do that, three chapters in 15 minutes. That's not studying the word. Studying the word is really digging deep in it. Like, what does that mean? God, teach me. Show me what that means. Giving some time, praying about it, studying the word. If we did that and we fellowshipped and prayed continuously, I think that we'd experience the same thing they experienced. And what was that? Daily, they were in the temple in unity, and God added to the church those that were being saved. Daily, people were being healed of sickness and disease all the time, not once every year. Okay, all the time. There was demon-oppressed and demon-possessed people that were set free all the time, every day. Many signs and wonders were done, but the most awesome and miraculous, powerful thing is that people were being saved by the masses. That's why we want Holy Ghost revival on the earth, not so we can see people heal. I do care about healing, but I don't ever put healing above salvation. I would rather see one person saved than everybody in this room set free of every sickness in their body. We can have both. There's no limits on God, but people will pray for healing, healing, healing for sick, and that's great, and God can do it and will do it, but we need to pray with just as much persistency about salvation, for God to bring the lost in. This is why we are committed to seeking Holy Ghost revival. And we do this by our prayer meetings. You can see on the front of the bulletin, we've got three prayer meetings per week, if you don't count Sunday morning. Sunday morning is one as well. It's kind of unofficial while they're doing worship practice. But we do Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. Mark Duncan does prayer soak in here. He has the lights down low, worship music playing. You just come and you seek the Lord as you feel led to. If you need somebody to pray with you, he will certainly do that. Then we have late night prayer at 10 o'clock, which Christy and I lead. And we come in here and we seek the Lord for a while, and then we get together as a group and we just pray for whatever God lays on our heart or any specific needs. And then again, Thursday morning, that's at 10 to 11 on Tuesday. Thursday morning at 5:15, Jason and Sherry lead up an early morning prayer. And it's similar to what we do on Thursday night. But I want you to know that we don't do those three prayer meetings just so we can say that we're a church that has three prayer meetings. We do those. The reason we have three is because God laid it on my heart to do multiple different time slots, different days, so that everybody could find at least every couple of weeks or so, I can make it to that one. Like, early morning ain't my thing. I'll never make it to that. I've made it a few times, but I'm saying as an individual, not just me, but you may be thinking this. I'll never make it to early morning. Well, then come to late night. Well, I'm not a late night person either. We'll come to the 8 o'clock. Okay, they're all free, they're open, we don't charge admission, you don't have to purchase tickets online, and you don't have to stay for the whole time. Okay, if you only have 15 minutes, then come for 15 minutes, but there is power in people praying and seeking the Lord together. Praying at home on your own is great and wonderful and is so very necessary, and I do place a high level of importance on that. But you need to pray with other believers. You need to be seeking the Lord together. All right. Another area we focus on that part of the ministry is by preaching the truth, because the truth can set you free. Preaching the truth will bring salvation to the sinner. The next part is Freedom Reigns in Christ Church is committed to seeing healing and deliverance move the saint to a place of freedom from sin and victory in Jesus. It's what I talked about earlier, but too many people walk around, they've received Christ, and they haven't received the freedom. They have their head down, they're in defeat. Part of it's because they need healing and deliverance that most often they're not even aware of. You realize that? Lots of Christians are not aware that there's healing and there's deliverance. Just because you have been saved doesn't mean you will never struggle with anything again. I'm sure most of you can attest to that. But there's healing and deliverance that needs to take place in certain parts of your life. So we want to see that. Matthew 1:21, again, you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Not just they won't sin anymore. He will save you from them. You don't have to walk around with your head down. You have freedom from your sins. Therefore, you have freedom from the enemy, from yourself, from the world. We accomplish that in this place by, again, the prayer team, believing that you can be touched by God and freed from things by counseling sessions with the elders or with marriage dynamics and those types of things. The next part is Freedom Reigns in Christ Church is committed to, and this is something you guys are all great at, loving people, making disciples, and equipping them for the work of the ministry. There's very few churches that love on people like this one. And it's something when I went to Rochester, I was so amazed that a church of that size has this kind of feel. I mean, it's a church of around 500, and I don't know how many people came up to us and gave us hugs or shook our hands, and they're like, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you before. I mean, they didn't know who we were. They thought maybe we were new people or whatever, but it was just like it is here. You don't find that everywhere. We get people come in all the time and talk about that. And I believe that that's something that God's put on this house, that it's a place that we are welcoming to everyone, no matter what your past is, no matter what your reason is for coming. Maybe you're even coming to check out and see if we really are weird, like some people say. I really don't think that we are, but hopefully that you encounter the Spirit of God here. But whatever the reason is for coming, we love you. We're glad that you're here. We hope that you come back. And that's something that's so important, because how many of you know that for people to come and to keep coming, they have to feel like they belong. They have to feel like they're wanted. People don't always walk in the door and the first day, bam, God just hammers them and they're like, I love this place. I'm coming back. Sometimes they come back because of you. You know, I mean, hopefully they come back because of the Lord, but sometimes it's just you. And if they come back because of you, don't get too proud, because it's not you. It's what God is doing through you. It's still about God. It's not about you. So Jesus didn't just come to forgive us, but to free us from our sin. Again, if you've become new, old things have passed away. That means every single thing from the beginning, is what that literally means, has passed away. All right. Next section is Freedom Reigns in Christ Churches. I jumped back. We're committed to loving people, making disciples. I'm getting scatterbrained. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says this, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. That causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We're all about that. We need that in this place. And there's a lot of areas that apply to that. Most ministry areas can apply to that, but the media and the sound, doing that, you realize that we don't just do that so things look cool and things sound good in here. We want to reach people around the world. If this stuff sounds good, we can record it. We can put it on the website that Stefan works on. And You know, we have people that work very hard at that. You know, Anthony and Robbie have been working on some of the sound issues, and Jason and Bud ran some electrical lines back here to put our amps on. We have people that work hard at that, not because we need to have cool things, but because we want to reach people around the world through the sound and the media. You believe that? We can reach people outside of this place by that? The buildings and grounds that takes care of this house, that maintains it, that keeps it looking presentable and desirable for people to come back. How many of you would want to go back to a church that was dirty and filthy? It's not very inviting if it's not kept up. So we have cleaning for that, which you guys are a part of. If you feel led to, check that out and sign up for that. I was thinking about this. We have constant battles with getting people to sign up for cleaning. If everybody signed up for one room like once every 3 months, we would cover the whole year like that. Just something to give some thought to. Because we really don't want somebody to sign up for the whole church, because it's a lot of work. But one room every 3 months, and we could probably have it all covered. But it's necessary to fulfill our mission of building disciples, making disciples for his kingdom and for his glory. We can't make disciples if we can't get them to keep coming in here. And making disciples is way more than Sunday morning, which we're going to get into. So I'm not saying that, but we have to keep it presentable. We have to keep it clean to keep them coming back. We have our library. If anybody wants to serve in that, we need somebody to take that up. But we have that, so we have all kinds of stuff that can mold and shape you and encourage you and train you. Just don't let them become a replacement for the Word of God. Those are additional resources. Our deacons in this place are awesome, every one of you guys. They lead by example. That's how you train up future leaders, by leading by your example, walking in Christ. We have our men's group that we meet and we pray. We discuss the Word of God. We encourage and build one another up. That's Saturday mornings at 7. And the biggest part, one of the biggest parts, is our youth. We love the youth in this place. It doesn't matter if we have a lot or if we have a few. We love the kids. And it is so important to pour into them and to help love on them and train them and show them the way that they should go. It's important. We have a mission with the youth. This is what our mission is. Our mission is not to hang out and tell them stories. Our mission is to make disciples. That's why we have our youth group. We want to make disciples. We start with the little kids. We go up to the big kids. But the goal is making disciples. We want people that, as they get through high school and they go into college, that they're still walking with the Lord. That's the most important part. Otherwise, why waste our time for 12 years of their life if we're not actually doing anything meaningful for the kingdom of God? And so beginning March 2nd, we're moving grades 7 through 12 to Sunday evenings at 6:30, and that's going to be at the Parsonage. And I'm very, very excited about this, because we are going to build relationships with these young people, and we're going to pour into them and train them up to be men and women of God to make an eternal impact. Is that exciting? Because that's what our goal is. That's the reason we're going to do it. Wednesday nights, we teach pre-K through sixth grade how to worship, how to pray, and then we do activities with them, love on them, teach them the Word of God. We got a little bit of change that's coming to that. So if you're interested in serving in that, it's in the bulletin. But see Christy or myself or Sherry, whatever it says in there. You can see anybody that has anything to do with the youth. But we do need another group leader. We need a person that could be a group leader or kitchen or a few different things to help out there. And we could use a van driver. So if you're available for any of those things, again, I don't do anything to condemn you. I'm just saying if some of you may not know these things exist. So the next area in our vision, which I'm almost done with, Freedom Reigns in Christ Church is committed to influencing the world through evangelism and local, national, and international missions. We have to influence the world. If this is all that we do is meet on Sundays and then meet with the kids on Wednesdays and Sunday nights, that's not enough. We have to influence the world. I'm tired of the world influencing the church. It's time for us as the church to influence the world. That's the way that it's supposed to be. We can do this. You realize it doesn't matter how many we have. We can change the world. The disciples, when people saw them coming, was like, whoa, here comes those who have overturned the world or shaken up the world. It was 12. We got more than 12 right here. We can do this. So I have a simple way that each one of us can influence the world for the cause of Christ. This is probably going to blow your mind, this revelation. Are you ready for it? Act like Jesus. That's it. It's that simple. All the time, act like Jesus. Don't compromise when you don't feel like being good, when you don't feel like standing for righteousness, when you're having an off day. Be like Jesus. You don't think that Jesus was probably having a pretty rough time on his 40-day fast, being tempted by the devil for 40 days, no food, and he's getting the devil throwing stuff at him all the time? I'm sure it wasn't easy, but he endured it. He conquered it. He overtook the enemy. And again, where's our position? It's in him. If he did it, we can do it. We need to act like Christ. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And this isn't really as hard as what we make it out to be a lot of times. To be holy means to be set apart, therefore different, distinct, or other. It's exactly what Jason was talking about earlier. If you want to be a rebel, if you want to be different, be like Jesus. He's different. If you're not being like Jesus, you're being like the world, and that means you're like everyone else. You're not distinct. You're not other. You're not set apart. You're just like everyone else. We need to not be like everybody else, but be like one, Jesus, like him, the model, the mold, okay? One way or another, every one of you, myself included, we influence people. You realize that? How many of you would look at yourselves and say that you're a leader? Like, three of us are leaders. That's not true. Every person in this place is a leader. Every single one of you. Say, I'm a leader. Say it like you believe it. I'm a leader. Okay. Were you being serious? Say it again.
I'm a leader.
Okay. Everybody is a leader. We all influence people one way or another. There is somebody somewhere that looks at you and sees something that you do, and then they imitate it. Somebody somewhere. I guarantee it. If you have children, your children are going to be a reflection of you. It may not be an exact reflection, but they're a reflection of you. There's times where there's things that our kids do where we're trying to figure out, where do they get this from? And I'm like, Lord, if that's in me, if it's in Christy, I was like, show it to us. They get it from somewhere, you know? And it's whatever you have influence over, they look like you, but it's not always people you have influence over. Brothers, little brothers try to look like bigger brothers. Little brothers try to look like dads. There's a video I listened to the other day, Michael Jr. He was talking about James, the half-brother of Jesus. And he said, think about how difficult that was for James. All the time he was probably hearing, James, why can't you be more like Jesus? You know, I mean, think about it. Jesus was perfect. But he also said that you think about how little brothers follow around older brothers, and everywhere Jesus went, James went right behind him. And one time, James almost drowned. Get it? Jesus walks on water, James. All right. He must be funnier than me. He is funnier than me. Thank you. But somebody is looking at you. You are a leader. You are influencing people's lives one way, shape, or form, whether you realize it or not. So instead of influencing them to be like the world, let's influence them to be like Jesus. Let's influence them for the kingdom. Most of you can help just alone by adjusting your Facebook habits. I know it seems like I attack Facebook a lot in here, and I really am not against it. I'm against what people do with it. And just think about this for just a second. Everybody do an honest heart check. If this doesn't apply to you, then discard it. I don't care. I'm not going to be checking and like, oh, I was talking about so-and-so and they didn't do it. When you post things, when you like a random post that has nothing, it's like a cat that's smiling. When you like the stupid cat that's smiling post, what is that doing? What's the purpose of that? And doesn't mean that you can't do it, but the same people that like the stupid cat don't like somebody in this house that posts a scripture or an encouraging word or a quote by a Christian author or that we're having a church service. You can influence the world by simply clicking like for things that are actually meaningful and purposeful. You can still click the dumb cat, okay? But click the like the church event, the like what I'm preaching about, not so that I get more recognition, but so people see the things of Christ that are out there. Okay, get that stuff going. Do that. Make a commitment to do that. But even what you share on there, be careful what you share on Facebook. There is no reason to share your argumentative opinion that doesn't matter at all. Okay? It's not going to accomplish anything except probably make someone mad at you or make someone who's already kind of mad at the situation even more mad at the situation. If you're not leading someone to Christ, you're leading them away from Christ. It doesn't matter if it's intentional. If you're not leading them to Christ, you're leading them away from Christ. You're provoking anger in someone's life that is not leading them to Christ. Instead, be an encourager. If you want to argue about things for the kingdom of God, not in a rude and meanful and hurtful way. Preach the truth, the unadulterated truth of the word of God. Preach that. Do you guys receive that? I'm sorry, that might have been a little hard, but I just feel that way. I try to only get on Facebook to post stuff because I don't really want to read what most people put out there because it's not any good. And some ways that we do this, not Facebook, ways that we influence the world through evangelism, through local, national, and international missions is this. We have local missions like the Food Pantry and Ministerial Alliance. When people are hungry in town, they need food, they can go to the food pantry, which we supply funds to. And speaking of that, we need to get that cart back out here. Let's make that happen. We get a card out here, we used to, where we'd put whatever they need for the month in it. It goes up there. It's a big deal, okay? There's people that they really rely on that. It's not for you to judge whether they could get rid of their cell phone and go buy food. That's not your place. The fact of the matter is they need food, and we have an avenue for them to get food, and we can help. We need to help, okay? You pray for them that God gets a hold of them and their priorities get straightened out, but it's really none of our business. The Ministerial Alliance helps people in town that need help with their electric bill, gas bill, these types of things. People that have fallen on hard times, houses get, you know, blown down by a tornado. We have potlucks and things for them to raise funds. So we sow into those locally, and we're going to try to do some more stuff locally as well. Nationally, we are going to go on a missions trip this summer to New York City. How many of you remember Cheryl sharing about that last year? About the mission trip that she went on, and it was awesome. We'll probably pretty soon I'll have her share about that again, and then we'll kind of have a meeting and see what the interest is. But you can find out about that in the foyer. We have a pamphlet on that too. But internationally, we support Fabian, who's in Iraq, speaking to Syrian refugees that are setting up camps there. We have Jeff and Marianne Stone, who are in Israel, and then Kate and Adam Jones, who are with Crew, and they're planning to go overseas to China, I think either late this year or next year. They're still raising funds for that. But so we also look forward to doing an international mission next year. This year we're going to focus on New York. Next year we're going to do an international mission again. So those are some ways that we help to fulfill that vision for reaching out to people. Now, this vision is great. I hope that you guys all received something good from it today from the Lord, that maybe you learned something that you didn't know about this church. Maybe you God spoke to you in ways that you can serve him, that you can help us make disciples for his kingdom and for his glory, because that's the purpose. But for a vision to work, it has to be owned by you guys, by the congregation. It can't just be something that the elders came up with and that we prayed about and it seems good, because we cannot carry out the vision. Just a couple people can't carry it out. It takes the congregation. You have to pray about it. You have to participate in it. Again, even if you're not from here, see how you can do these things where you're at in your church. Don't go against your church's vision, but see how these things line up with your vision and how you can help. So we have to help fulfill this mission. What is our mission? Anybody? Making disciples for his kingdom, for his glory. And we can plan and plan and plan to do this, but in the end of the day, we can only succeed by the body of Christ, right? All of the different parts. You might be a foot, you might be a hand, you might be a leg, whatever the different parts are. We need all these parts to be able to fulfill this mission of making disciples. If we don't have someone in here that's willing to pray with people, they may not ever receive the freedom that they need. If we don't have someone who's willing to teach them in Sunday school or youth or whatever, they may never get that foundation of truth that they need. If we don't have someone in here to play worship, they may not ever learn how to worship their Creator. Not only that, how many of you know that you can receive freedom just by worshiping the Lord alone? Because he's the one that gives it. It's not the person that's praying for you. You can receive that just during worship time. So if I can get the worship team to come, we're going to close out in a praise song. But I just want you guys to consider these things today. And I hope that I encouraged you and challenged you at the same time. And that, again, that you didn't take it harshly or anything. But evaluate yourself and think about if you're doing your part. And if there's something else that God would have you do, not something else that I would guilt you into at all. But I mean, we have plenty of needs in the church that help us fulfill this mission. Think about whether you should sign up to clean, whether you should help with the children on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Think about if you should go on the mission trip, or maybe you're just supposed to support others and help them get their way there. Think about if you've been sitting in pews during altar calls when you need freedom in your life, when you need deliverance, and it's here. Just think about it. Again, I'm not trying to sway your emotions. I just want you to think about it. We're not even doing another altar call, but don't let pride stand in your way. If you've been thinking about becoming a member and you've been putting that off, you hesitate to make a commitment, think about that. Come ask me questions. The membership class is so you know what we're about. Then you make the decision. I don't want you to just join to join. I want you to buy into this and want to yoke up with us and become members. But most importantly, above all things, are you praying for revival? Are you praying for the lost to be saved? Because that's what we need. All of this is for one purpose, for making disciples, for seeing the kingdom advanced for the glory of God. That's what it's all about. You may need these things in your life. So do others. We have to share that. We have to get that out there. So I hope you guys are encouraged and take that to heart.